Sponsorship of the Be Our Guest podcast is proudly brought to you by the great folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. We were just at Las Fuentes, imagine that, and Mallory asked me, how many days do we have to go until we head down to Coronado Springs, Dad? She said, show me your iPhone. So I pulled out my iPhone, and we could see that we're down to 40 days to go until we hit that Southwest Airlines jet to head to Florida for a couple of weeks of fun in the sun down in Florida. Even my family knows Days to Go WDW is the place to go for great pictures for Walt Disney World, audio chimes, and more. They get excited because they want to know how many days we have to go as well. Make your Apple device a Disney device. Download Days to Go WDW today over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1010 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. We hope this hump day finds you well. It is the day before. It is Cinco de Mayo Eve.
You know what today is, right?
Today
Hello, how am I the only one who knows what today is?
I was getting there. I have to get everybody ready for tomorrow first because it is Cinco de Mayo Eve, so make sure you hydrate. I'm keeping everybody safe here.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
And make sure that you have
safety
a light.
First.
Well, that's exactly right, safety. Pam. Always safety first with us. And, you know, you got to have hydration today, lots of water. And, you know, eat light. Eat stuff like chicken noodle soup because tomorrow you will be consuming mass quantities of tortilla chips, salsa, guacamole, and tacos and enchiladas. And, of course, my favorite, fajitas. So be ready for tomorrow. And we know that today is a great day as well because you will listen to all episodes of the Be Our Guest podcast. Jedi Mind Trick for May the 4th be with you.
Okay. All right.
I wasn't going to miss it, but Ricky jumped the gun.
I was going to say, if the non-Disney fan, or non-Star Wars fan, I should say, got it before you did.
Yeah, if that would happen, like we're going to talk about Universal on Friday, not going to happen.
Right, whatever.
So, I'm just saying.
Maybe we will.
Yeah, I doubt that. So anyway, joining us, who's cutting me, cutting down my Jedi mind tricks with Cinco de Mayo before I can even get to them. We have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and TheMouseForLess.com. What's up, Ricky?
I just got to keep you honest. I know that all you have on your brain is chips, salsa, margaritas, and fajitas, but, you know, it is Star Wars Day. So this day is before Cinco de Mayo. And then, of course, tomorrow you have Revenge of the Fifth. Oh, my God. Who am I?
It's more like
Penny on the Big Bang Theory.
And then Friday is like revenge of everything you had on Cinco de Mayo. So it's not good. But, you know, this is the one holiday, at least Cinco de Mayo. I love, you know, we'll probably watch The Force Awakens for like the 12th time on the Apple TV, today. But the great thing about being the mayor of your local Mexican restaurant on Foursquare is that you can get a table on Cinco de Mayo, even when all the rookies show up who've never been there. So that is, you know, that is where Swarm and Foursquare pay off. You get a table, your chips are ready, your fajitas are cooking when you arrive for your Cinco de Mayo fun.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Are people still using Foursquare? Is this
Swarm?
Still a thing?
I use Swarm. Scott uses Swarm. I check in every once in a while.
Okay,
keep my mayorship.
I didn't know this was a thing still. I just wanted to make sure.
Hey man, I party like it's 2011 all the time.
Yeah, you are. Good to know.
Like okay. Prince was still with us. Anyway.
Oh, boo. Too
know,
soon, dude.
I know.
Too
so
soon.
Bad, so yeah. bad. Also yeah. joining us, and I'm sure she was a Prince fan as well, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel.
This is taking a weird turn.
Here we go. Hola, Pam Forrester. Hola, hola. How's it going?
Hola. Purple Rain. And this is not the conversation you were hoping to have.
Not really.
I love it. Yes.
All the above.
All the above.
So now, do you guys go out for Cinco de Mayo to a local Mexican establishment, or do you stay home and just cook up some cold refried beans?
So we have fantastic Mexican here in the Berg. Maybe y'all don't know this. Those who live in the area, you probably do. We have a chain And their Mexican-themed restaurant is called Mad Mex. There are a few locations in the area, but they have great Mexican food. So whenever you get here, Mike, whenever you're taking the Southwest over, since you have the direct flight, we'll take you to Mad Mex.
I totally don't want my Mexican mad. It seems like it ends up mad anyway, but I want it to be nice and smooth and nice. I don't want it to be, I don't want to consume mad Mexican.
It's mad that you're not there every night. That's why.
you know, I would be there just about every night if I lived in Pittsburgh, probably. You know how I do Las Fuentes.
So anyways, yeah, but it's a great spot. We like it. It's in our favorite group of restaurants in the city here. So yes, we love Mexican. Are you kidding me? Guacamole, I could have it every day of the week. Every day.
Again, I used to hate guacamole when the podcast started. Now I'm flying and eating guacamole on a, three times a week.
I told you had to eat guacamole. I know.
The avocado is the perfect fruit or something, or vegetable or whatever it is.
I don't think it really is. Yes, it's a fruit because it has a seed in the middle. Yeah.
See, things you
got
learn.
It. Okay.
And Scott's in the live Facebook chat saying, quit calling out Foursquare. It's still cool. It's still relevant. So just so you know.
Okay. No, Scott, yeah, you sorry. Two are really not the best indicator of that.
not so much now.
How about we get to the listener questions? Let's start
that
off with
one. That
seems
like a better thing.
That's what we need to do. The first one's from Artie. And she says, hi, I find your podcast and have been working my way through back episodes. I'm going to Disney for 4 nights. Starting in April, so we missed this one by just a little bit, but we're still going to go with it for folks that may be going in the future. We went a year and a half ago and stayed at the Polynesian. We have two-year-old twins that are boy-girl, a four-year-old girl, and a six-year-old boy, so 4 kids there. Keep that in mind. The trip will be my wife and I, our 4 kids, her sister, and her parents. I'm just wondering what your top tips are for newbies, but not completely clueless guests. Since I just found the podcast, maybe there's a top 10 list or something. Here's some more details if you want them. We're staying at the Grand Floridian in a 2-bedroom villa. We really wanted to stay on the monorail for ease of strollers, not having to collapse them for the buses. If the babies are sleeping, it's a lifesaver. The 2-bedroom villa is pretty much the only room we could find that would fit us. We have a character breakfast at Chef Mickey's and at 1900 Park Fair. We also have dinner at 9 Dragons. We don't have the dining plan. We plan to spend most of our days in the Magic Kingdom with 1 day split between Epcot and the pool. We have an appointment for the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. Any other tips? Maybe a nice spot to get a couple of drinks after the kids go to bed, bearing that we will have the grandparents there to babysit. Thanks so much, Artie. All right, Pam, so they definitely have proximity and they're staying in the flagship resort of Walt Disney World. So how could they best take advantage of that to make sure that they... get the real Disney experience because they do have the grandparents there, so they can maybe slip away, like they said, after the kids go to sleep.
I think even really just being at a Disney resort in the evening by yourself, even if you don't do anything else, just walking around the resort or enjoying the pool into the evening past a point where the kids have to go to bed is really awesome. But also there are some great lounges in Walt Disney World, and at the Grand, Misner's is a great place to go and get a drink. They're also, there is, if you want something just casual, there's Gasparilla Grill, which is going to have really limited beer and wine available to take out. But then you can take it out in that really nice seating area there by the marina, or take it over to the beach where you can see the fireworks that take place over at the Magic Kingdom. There's really just so many cool things to, really appreciate about the Disney resorts. And I think that's one of the things we enjoy most.
Yeah, I think that's the greatest tip because, you go down, you see the planning videos in your mind's eye, you're thinking fast passes, you're thinking attractions, you're thinking shows. But the resort experience, many, many times when you come home, those are your best memories because you got to slow down and relax, maybe just sit around as a family and, shoot the breeze, because you just don't get to do that at home. Everybody's going here and there to work and to school and, daycare and childcare and all that stuff. So, Ricky, what might you suggest? Sounds like they have a nice couple character meals there at Chef Mickey's in 1900 Park Fair, but what else should they not miss?
Yeah, I was going to say for their night that they wanted to do, kind of maybe a lounge area. I've heard really good things. I haven't been there, but I've heard really good things about Visitor's Lounge, which is at the Grand Floridian. So if you wanted to, leave but not go too terribly far, I think that would be a good choice. And having stayed at the Grand Floridian, I think that really just if you're looking for a quick dinner or lunch or dinner or whatever, you should also consider the Grand Floridian Cafe. I really enjoyed my meal there and thought it was really good. They have the a surf and turf burger, I think that's what it's called. It has lobster on it. Brian loved it. I had a bite of it. It was fantastic. So, you know, I think that the Grand Floridian has a lot of great things to offer. I mean, obviously it's the flagship resort. So, you know, those are a couple things for them to enjoy at their actual resort they're staying at.
All right. Great spot. And hopefully had a great trip. And we appreciate that, you know, finding the show and going back and listening to the older podcast. You can do that again at brguestpodcast.podbean.com. You know, over 1,000 shows there to keep you busy. If you're a new listener, we appreciate that so much. Keep you very busy. All right. The next question comes from Belinda. She's in Springfield, Missouri, down in the Ozarks, where Matt Parrish is from. So he's keeping it real down there. And Belinda says, we're planning a trip for July of 2016 with our children and grandchildren, and I've really enjoyed listening to your podcast the last few weeks. Since my daughter is a teacher and my daughter-in-law is in medical school, July is our only option. However, thanks to touring plans, I think I have a good plan mostly mapped out for us with hopefully not terrible waits for attractions. There will be 6 kids ranging in age from 3 to 10 years old and 11 of us in all. It'll be the first trip for the 10-year-old that my daughter adopted last year. Well, congratulations. That's really cool. Perfect age, too. 2 years ago, which was our first visit in many years, we all stayed at Pop Century and had a great time. Since then, our son and his wife have purchased a resale DVC membership, so we are buying points from them and are doing a split stay at the Boardwalk and Bay Lake Tower. We can't wait. I have a few questions, if you could address as many as you have time. Number one, and we have time for everybody's questions here.
Absolutely.
That's why we're here. I know that the Frozen ride at Epcot and the Anna and Elsa meet and greet should be open by the time we go. Do you know if the Anna and Elsa meet and greet at Magic Kingdom will close when the Epcot one opens? I'm wondering as I work on my touring plans in preparation for our FastPass reservations that will be coming up in early May. All right, Ricky, so we do know an answer to this one, and it is...
Yes, and when are they going? They're going June?
July. Right?
Oh, July. Okay, sorry. I thought I heard June. Okay, so when Anna and Elsa do go to Epcot and start meeting at the Royal Summer House, or I don't know. Anyway, once they start meeting there, they will no longer be meeting at the Princess Fairytale Hall. So, right now it appears that fast passes are on hold in like mid-June. So one would expect that, granted Disney hasn't announced any dates yet, but one would expect that they're planning right now on opening both Frozen Ever After and the Royal Summer House in June, mid-June. I don't know. I heard somebody, one Imagineer, pronounce it like house or whatever. Anyway.
No, we're going to go with house.
So right now that's when we're thinking that it's going to open. But of course things can change as we learned with Reverse of Light, which is why Disney hasn't announced a date yet, I'm sure. So, you know, just keep your eye on that. But, if you're wanting to meet Anna and Elsa, at you're going to have to meet them at Epcot, and it'll be interesting to see kind of how they, divvy out fast passes for that as well, because I have a strong feeling that Anna and Elsa meet and greet will be a tier one attraction. Of course, Soarin' will be a tier one attraction, and the Frozen Ever After attraction will more than likely be a tier one attraction. So, plus you've got Test Track in there too. So some really big heavy hitters as tier one. Just my assumption going forward. So we'll see what happens, whether Disney changes things around or what going forward. But yeah, good luck.
What that screams out, though, is that screams out for you to visit Epcot on multiple days, because that way you can work in your...
I do wonder. I mean, I'm assuming that they're going to keep the tiers at that point. But I do wonder if they're... Because there's so many tier one attractions at that point, if they're going to consider opening it up just in general. But I doubt that they would. I assume they're probably going to keep the tiers.
So. I wish they'd get rid of them. Those are so miserable when you're scheduling.
I know. They are miserable. So...
Okay, so, and also, let me throw that in there, that the Soarin' Fast Passes are now available, so grab those ASAP, get on them, and, because you're going to want to see
if
that.
If you can, get on them if you can, is the keyword there.
I think you can, so just try, because I think with the group you have, the group of 11, most of your traveling party there would enjoy Soarin'. That's when most of you can do together. All right, number 2, also, I heard that Joy and Sadness are coming to the Epcot character meet and greet, and that Baymax was already there. I was hoping to make FastPass reservations for that. Do you know if all the characters are in one place, or is there more than one area in separate lines for those? Pam, do you know how that's going, or should we pass that one off to Ricky?
I do. I know. Go ahead. So, you can't make FastPass for either of them, unfortunately. Both Baymax and then Joy and Sadness are in the same location, but they each have their own lines, and FastPass isn't available for either. The character greeting spot that is kind of across the breezeway, which has more, you know, typical Disney characters that you would see, you can make FastPass Plus arrangements for that.
When I'm such a kid of the 90s, but when I hear Joy and Sadness, do you know what I think of? I think of Rob Bass, Joy and Pain. That song.
Come on,
Joy. come on. And Pain. Little sunshine and rain.
It's
anyway.
Really sad that I knew what you were talking about.
It's like what I think.
I feel really glad that I didn't know what he was talking about, so I'm good. There we go.
I've never seen Inside Out yet, so that's all I think of is Rob Bass every time I hear Joy and Sadness. Anyway, number three, last question. Also, my daughter was recently able to obtain a certified service dog for her son because of his PTSD and anxiety disorder. The dog will be traveling with us. I have talked to a couple of people at Disney, but can't seem to get a clear picture of how that will work. I know we have to go to guest services upon arrival, and there is a 6-person limit to be included to ride with him. I've heard they sometimes make exceptions for more in your party, but not sure how common that is, and because of height requirements and motion sickness issues for some in our party, it would not be the same people in our party wanting to ride every single ride. Also, I've been told multiple things about how that works at the attraction. Any info you have would be appreciated. It is hard to make a plan when we don't know exactly how it will work until we arrive. Thanks again, Belinda, down in Springfield. All right, Ricky, do you want to kind of, try to just put Belinda's mind at ease with just a quick description of how this is going to work with the, it's the guest assistance card now, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with the guest assistance card, yeah, they do only allow 6. So just kind of keep that in mind, but it's really simple. What you do is you go up to the cast member. I'm sure they'll be able to tell because you've got the dog with you, but you'll say, you get the card from guest relations, and then you go to the cast member at each attraction, and then you'll say, hey, I have the guest assistance card. They will write on there a return time for you to come back. It's usually 10 minutes less what the wait time is. So just keep that in mind. And they will then let you, once that the time has gone down, they will then let you go and ride the ride. You'll get to go through the fast pass way at lane. And then since you've got the kids, you may also be able to take advantage of child swap too at that point, depending on the different attractions. So you may be able to use those in conjunction with each other. I'm not 100% sure. I'm pretty sure that they'll let you do that. On the rides that have height requirements. As for some attractions, they do most attractions do allow the animal on there. However, I believe there are a few that don't. For example, like when I went and I actually saw at the end of Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, there was a cage that had been out for a dog that had been there previously. So some of them do have little kennels for the dogs at the end of the ride that they may have you put the dog in. But unless there's someone out, that wants to hold the dog. So that's a few things that I know about the guest assistance pass and having a dog with you. I wish I had Steve Hood. I could ask him all the questions because I know he's brought Gus. So I don't exactly know 100% because I've been around with Steve when he's had Gus, but not 100% of the time. So I'm not 100% on exactly how it works. So sorry.
All right. Michelle's telling us it's also on your Magic Band at this point. She's saying in the chat room, the Facebook. So that's really cool. That's a good use of the Magic Band. I like that. Pam, let me ask you this, because that one part of the question I'm unsure about. So is it like a hard set 6 people, or can the 6 people kind of float around depending on attraction? Like you said, I mean, if somebody's got motion sickness issues, they're probably not going to want to go on the teacups. How does that work?
I get that, but since it was changed to where you make the reservations through My Disney Experience, I think that the 6 will be the same 6 each time, because they need to be linked together, and they'll get that designation with them that they're with the guest that has the special needs of one sort or the other, and therefore that's what will happen with that.
All right. So have a great trip, Belinda. We appreciate it. And keep it awesome down there with the Springfield Cardinals. Keep sending us some good ball players up to St. Louis. We need them. We really need them this year. All right. Next up, Sarah Fisher. She's writing in from Nashville, Tennessee. Says, hey, Mike and the gang, I've been planning our summer 2016 trip and had a little trouble deciding on a dinner reservation for Epcot. Okay, now this is better. We're more experts at this.
This is much more.
This is right down our alley. Here we go. We have never done a dinner around the time of the fireworks and would like to try one this trip. I currently have reservations for La Hacienda de San Angel. If we do not get a window seat, can we expect to still be able to view the fireworks? Is there a better choice when it comes to dining during fireworks? Thanks for always giving the best advice. I love listening to the show and enjoy your enthusiasm for Disney. I can tell that you not only enjoy sharing your knowledge of Disney, but teaching others what you know. I can only imagine what an awesome teacher you are, too. Thanks, Sarah. Well, Sarah, my kids this time of the year, they're just glad they just want Mr. Rahman to hit summer break. They're kind of sick of me.
Right.
You know,
they've
had me on here. So, you know, it's much more fun to talk
after
Disney.
Having you as a teacher for, you know, a day. Yeah. I would agree.
You know,
that,
today we were talking third grade with acute and obtuse and straight and right angles and all that stuff.
Remember that, I swear.
Yeah, acute little, you got to remember it. It's a cute little angle if it's less than 90. Oh. And, you know, if it's cute. Obtuse, that's so weird. It's like obtuse. It's weird. Anyway, I'm not teaching you geometry. We're talking Disney, and that's why we love talking. That's why I'm so excited, because I don't have to talk geometry. So anyway, let's get to the question. And the question is dining during fireworks. And Pam, I know you said you would pay at least $35 extra to do this a couple weeks ago. So you're the expert.
I said sometimes.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You said if it was cold or hot or, you know, in the mid-70s. So what do you think? Give her some advice for dining during fireworks.
So if you're looking specifically at the Epcot fireworks, there are really two decent, you know, restaurants from which you can see all the fireworks, and that would be Rose and Crown and La Hacienda. Now, there are some other ones that may have, you know, a slight view, like the Tokyo Dining location at Japan. That's a possibility as well. But and then the outdoor venue of La Cantina there in Mexico as well, you'll have a decent view of.
Don't forget the Spice Road Table either.
So, oh, yeah, yeah.
It's just okay.
Everybody,
I don't think the view there
that.
Is that spectacular, so whatever. Yeah.
So the issue is really going to be at Rose and Crown, you're going to need to have really outside seating to see the fireworks. And when you're at La Hacienda, there are only certain tables where you're going to be able to see the fireworks. Now, it's the majority of the table, but there are some where you can't really see them at all. And those are requests that you can only make when you check in at the podium. You can't make them before when you're making the reservation, and you know, you won't be able to like back out of the reservation if they sit you at a table you don't really like. So, I think that those are just things that you'll have to keep in mind. But, I mean, you know, I think that there's a good chance that you'll get fireworks tables if you ask nicely and are willing to wait and all of that. But it's just no guarantee.
Let me ask you this, Pam. So is this a great opportunity to grease the palm of the maitre d'?
Oh, my goodness.
I do not think that any kind of Disney host or hostess is allowed to accept tips for seating you at a better table. I'm sorry.
I don't think greasing the palm, though, by nature is a tip. It's kind of like, you know, you put that you know, shiny $1 bill there hidden in your hand, and you just kind of shake hands.
Wow, if you're only tipping $1, oh,
yeah,
you're not going
to
get
it. So it's like, yeah, you'll be sitting in the back, right? Like, yeah, it's a little exactly. Something extra for the effort, right? Like Bill Murray
right.
And Caddyshack or, you know.
Oh, excuse me. I didn't know that was in my hand. Here, you can have it. Just take it. Just take it. I don't need that. Nice.
So, how about a little something extra?
Yeah,
you know,
how about a little something
for the effort?
Yeah, exactly. How about that nice table right there in the middle of the window?
Right. No, sorry. So, it just doesn't work the way at Disney like it does in the in the rest of the world. So,
right. Good stuff. All right, next question comes from Diana Williams. She says, hi there, I'm a new listener, and I'm really enjoying your podcast. Lots of great information. And you know what? We love our listeners who've been with us for over 8 years now, but we have a lot of new listeners. So welcome everybody who's new in the last little bit. We appreciate
newbies.
You letting us. Hey, drop me a line, mike@brguestpodcast.com. Let me know where you found the show. I'm always interested in that because it helps us kind of see where to focus our efforts. So we really appreciate that. But back to Diana's question. I have a question about the Disney dining plans in connection with split stays involving on-site and off-site resorts. Oh, I feel a headache coming on already.
Uh-oh.
I saw split stays on-site and off-site. Here we go. Pay attention, people. Pay attention. Okay. I am going to Orlando early in June for a work conference, and I've decided to take my adult son, his wife, and their two kids with me. As the conference runs on Tuesday through Thursday, we're going down the prior weekend and staying at Port Orleans Riverside from Saturday night through Tuesday. Going to my favorite resort. You'll love it. Then we transfer to the conference hotel, which is the Embassy Suites near Lake Buena Vista, on Tuesday, and we'll stay till the following Saturday. Write all this down. We already have both hotels reserved and passes purchased and advanced dining reservations made. We will do 2 days at Walt Disney World, take a break day, and then we'll do 2 more days at Walt Disney World while I'm at the conference, finishing up our Disney passes on Friday and Saturday. My question is this. Is the dining plan connected to the hotel room or to the Magic Your Way passes? I was thinking about adding the dining plan to make it easier on them when they are at the parks without me as I'm paying for the trip, but would that work for the days when we're staying off Disney property? Thanks again. Diana is in, where the hardest questions always come from, Atlanta. Imagine that.
Yay!
Imagine that. Anyway, so I think, first of all, your first question, I'm just going to jump in on this one, and then we'll kind of give some thoughts on this. The Disney dining plan, just because dining's kind of been on my mind for the last, 9 days or so, like 24/7. The Disney, let's see if I can say this like I've said it a bunch of times, even to fellow teachers at school who saw about free dining. It's crazy. So the Disney dining plan is connected to the number of nights in your Walt Disney World resort stay. It does not have anything to do with your Magic Your Way tickets. You could have 2-day tickets in the dining plan for 7 nights if you're having a 7-night on-site stay. So when you're looking for your entitlements for your Disney dining plan, it is 1-to-1 association with the number of nights you're staying at your Walt Disney World resort. So you don't have to worry about your tickets. They can be, you got to have tickets. Actually, you don't even have to have tickets anymore. You used to have tickets. Now you can actually do ticketless packages. We're not talking about that yet. But it doesn't have anything to do with your tickets. You could have a bunch of tickets, a few tickets, doesn't matter. It's the number of nights in your hotel. So Pam, what is your suggestion in a situation like this where they're going off-site? I mean, because you have to have an on-site reservation to have the Disney dining plan. And you got to use them by the day, by midnight of the day you check out. So what would you offer Diana in this situation?
That they're just really, if you're going to be staying off-site, there's really no dining plan that you can purchase. I mean, that's just not an option for you. So maybe what you could do is, if you're looking to pay for this kind of stuff in advance, you could get a Disney gift card, which will be equal to kind of what the amount you'll spend on dining during that time is.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would say. Since you're trying to cover the trip for them, and that's very kind of you, that's awesome. That's going to make them have a great Disney experience. But just for that interim little bit, you know, just put some money on a Disney gift card. And remember, you know, if they don't use it all, that's money that you can put towards, you know, maybe your deposit on your next trip or just buy souvenirs with it. Disney would probably love you to buy more souvenirs with that extra money that you may not spend. So I think that's the best way, because it's almost kind of like a Disney dining plan, because, you know, the bill comes, you hand them the thing, and boom, you know, it's taken care of. So, Ricky, anything else you can think of?
I was going to suggest the same thing. I was going to suggest putting it on a Disney gift card. So,
all right.
Pam beat me to it.
All right. Next question comes from Michelle Young. She is in Chattanooga, Tennessee. She says, hello, everyone. I was wondering if you can still get Disney dollars. I thought I read somewhere that you can still get them at the parks, but you have to order them and have them sent to you before your trip. I was thinking of getting them and giving them to my daughter for an allowance, and then she can spend them on our trip in March of 2017. Thanks for all your time, Michelle. I remember the Disney dollars, man. Those things were, I never, ever, ever had one, but they looked so cool back in the day. Cause didn't they have like Mickey and Donald, and like they were the, you know, kind of the presidents. So
yeah.
Ricky, do you know the status of the Disney dollars?
So I've heard two things. I've heard that they're still available, and then I've heard that they're not available anymore.
Well, that makes sense. You're right. You're probably right.
I, You. I think that if you
is there a third option?
I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that you have to go to guest relations either way to find out if you can purchase them. So, because I don't think that there's any other way that you can get Disney dollars. Well, hold on. I'm Googling as we speak. So
cheater. Here's the question for you, Ricky, because this is the question everybody's going to want to know. Can you grease the palm of the maitre d' at La Hacienda with Disney dollars? Now, is that acceptable?
So,
could you use the fork?
Yes.
It looks like, so I Googled it, okay, and I pulled up the Walt Disney World website for this information. So if it's wrong, blame Disney because I'm getting it from their website. So the question is can I order Disney dollars prior to my arrival at Walt Disney World? Yes, there are two ways to order Disney dollars. You can order by credit card by calling 407-566-4985 and select option 5. And Disney dollars are must purchase with a credit card are limited to $50 per day and a $15 shipping charge applies. Or you can order them by cashier's check or money order, and you have to mail your payment and the address to which you wish to send the order to, P.O. Box 10140, Lake Buena Vista, Florida, 32830. And Disney dollars purchased with a cashier's check or money order are limited to $650 per day on that one based on postmark date. And
per day, I like that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, it's like a sweepstakes.
Be sending in.
Exactly. Oh,
my gosh, and their per day order.
Right, here's my $650. And I sent it again.
I need $12,000 worth of Disney dollars. So yeah. $650 increments.
That would be $1,300 in Disney dollars. But a $15 shipping charge applies, and you must allow 2 weeks of processing. And about Disney dollars are the official currency of Walt Disney World, the Disneyland Resort, and Disney Store locations in the United States, including Puerto Rico. They are available for purchase in three denominations, $1, $5, and $10, each with a unique Disney character portrait. And then for information about Disney dollars, please call 407-W-DISNEY. So this is according to the Walt Disney World website. I don't know if they've changed their mind because sometimes the Walt Disney World website is not the most updated, but that's what they say. So if you want to order them ahead of time, you can. Otherwise, you have to go to guest relations to purchase.
This kind of sounds like something you would use for like a ransom or something. It's kind of strange. I don't know. You know, but here's the thing. And I think with like a young daughter and you have a trip that's a long way away, you know, like they're going in March of 2017. They have a long time to kind of think about it and get ready.
They can order $650 of Disney dollars.
Well, here's the thing, though, that I think Disney dollars, because, of course, you know, you can get a Disney gift card. That's the simple solution. That's why they're not as readily available as they were 10 years ago. Everybody's got gift cards now. But the thing is, for a kid who's trying to justify like an allowance, you can kind of accrue Disney dollars towards your vacation. You can, you know, like... It's kind of like how you can scam a little kid, here's four ones. You only have 1 5 there. You know, you'd rather have these $4 $1 bills. You got four of them. You know, just give me that five. You know, kind of that thing. You know, where it's tangible. Like they can touch it and they can see it getting bigger for collecting their allowance over a year. A Disney gift card doesn't change. You know, whether it's got $5 or $50 on it, it looks the same. Right, Pam, what do you think about this? The Disney dollars. I mean, are you a fan of them? And I mean, is it something you would? I mean, because you're paying 15 extra bucks to get them, it sounds like shipping.
Well, that's only if you have them mailed. You can pick them up at Walt Disney World. You can get them at guest relations, or you can get them, I think I saw at concierge desks at your hotel. So you can get them supposedly at Walt Disney World still.
But I mean, she wants them ahead of time for incentive for an allowance. I mean, Pam, is this something? I mean, I guess it's 15 bucks in the overall scheme, you know, overall picture of a Disney vacation. What's 15 bucks? But I don't know.
I'm not. This isn't something I would do just because the extra $15 would bother me and it just would. There are some things like I don't mind at all, like paying for them. Like, absolutely, I'm paying for that. That seems fair. But this, I don't know. I just don't like it. Plus, I feel like that the dollars, like, I don't know. I don't really want my small child carrying around dollars. I mean, chances are that's just like, that's going to go the way of the $15. It's going to be gone.
Right.
Soon.
It's going to just put it in a special pig. Like, that's exactly what you're going to do. Yes.
So, no, I'm just not, you know, I'm not going to do that. But I mean, everyone, is motivated by something different, you know? I mean, I think that everyone knows, you know, their kids best. And if that you think that would motivate your child more than whatever, I would be more inclined to do something like this, to just be like, here's a dollar. And then closer to when we get closer to the trip, all these dollars, we're going to put on a Disney gift card that you can spend when you're there. And then, you know, I'll hold on to the gift card and no one could lose any money. And I don't have to pay the money to have Disney ship me the dollars. But that's what I would do. So,
But you can't make it rain with one Disney gift card. You know, you can make it rain with Disney dollars.
I'm not sure that I really want to set up my daughter to be excited about making it rain.
I'm just saying. That's true.
If I'm being perfectly honest.
All right, moving on to the last question of the day. Not soon enough, apparently. It comes from listener Lori. She says, hi, Mike and ladies. I've just recently found your podcast. Thanks to some...
And what a good one you found!
Yes, yeah, thank you very much. We're having Cinco de Mayo a day early here on the show.
Dollar bills, y'all.
That's it. Anyway, she says, thanks to some very knowledgeable liners on touring plans. Yes, we love the liners over on touring plans. If you don't know who they are, they're the folks who hang out in the lines chat. And if you ever have any questions, like, I need something, like, now, and it's really crazy, like, about Disney dollars, somebody will be in there, and they'll help you out. Probably
a lot
better
than
anything.
You probably should have asked the liners about the Disney dollar question instead of me looking it up on Google.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Anyway, and she says she's loved listening. Your listener question shows are very helpful, and I can't wait to listen to more episodes so that I can plan more successful trips to Walt Disney World in the future. In a couple of months, my husband and I will be taking our very first grown-ups-only trip to Walt Disney World. We have three young kids who love Disney World, and it's killing me to leave them behind, but I'm so excited to get to enjoy Disney with just my husband. Since I normally have to consider my kids when we visit Disney, our park bags end up weighed down with tons of stuff. Most of the time, we don't end up using half of the things we bring, but I always tell myself that if I leave it in the room, I'll regret not having it. This time, though, I want to pack as light as possible. So my question to you is this. What are the absolute essentials that you take with you into the park? I won't need changes of clothes and sippy cups and all that other things that come with taking children into the parks this time. I'm looking forward to a much lighter load this go around. Thanks so much and keep the great shows coming. Lori. I'll tell you what, man, Lori, I am right with you. And I'll tell you what, I'm telling you, you need two things. You need a magic band and a good pair of Crocs, and you're set.
No!
Maybe a handful of Disney dollars. I don't know. No, I'm serious. I don't take hardly anything anymore because bag checks are pain.
You said Crocs. That's where you got
I'm
me
just
on that one.
Crocs, you know, flip-flops from Walmart, whatever. Keep your feet healthy, people. You'll be happier.
Right.
No, but seriously, Pam, I don't know. So I know sometimes I've noticed you've had a bag. Most of the times you do not. You know, when you're going just as a couple.
I carry a big honking purse. What are you?
You know what? And you know who carries the bag? It's Steve. That's who carries the bag. So just so you know, Steve carries the bag.
But she wants to be.
I bet your pant throws a lot of stuff in that bag, by the way.
You got to know though, Ricky. Like when you go with kids, I know exactly Lori's pain because we used to have the stroller. We had the diaper bag. I mean, no kidding. That's exactly like her. We better bring this because you never use it. But as soon as you get on that bus, you're like, oh man, we should have brought that. You know, it's like you're regretting it the rest of the day, even though you know you're probably not going to use it. So Pam, give her some advice. You know, it's just her and her husband. They're going to travel light. They just want to be able to go and not have to be, you know, a Sherpa and haul this stuff around for once. What can you offer, Lori?
I agree. Seriously, I think that I could do it without most of the things I bring with me. I need something to carry my phone in because I don't like putting it in my pants pocket, my phone. That drives me crazy. So I would need something to carry my phone in. I'd need like chapstick because for some reason,
yes,
the Florida weather is like wicked on my lips. I don't understand it. If it's a really hot day, I would bring sunscreen. If not, I'm typically okay applying it once per day. Sorry, don't gasp. People out there who burn easily, whatever. It's fine for me. And plus, I feel like you're going in and out so often that it doesn't really impact me. I know. Again, sorry, people. That's about it. Seriously, with the magic band, you know, my phone carrier holds my ID and one credit card, the one I use all the time. So even if something goes wrong with my magic band, I have that. You will need to take your ID, though, because if you have any kind of issue, just having your ID with you is such a lifesaver. If you have an AP, to get an AP discount, you're going to have to show your ID. If you're a DVC member, to get your DVC discount, you're going to have to show your DVC card. But even just, and your ID, but even just having your ID, if something were to go wrong with your tickets, it just speeds the process up that I never, you know, I never go into the park without it. But if I was really, really trying to, I could pare down. Now, here's the things I also like to add. Umbrella, because the ponchos for me are like a little piece of sauna hack, and I'm never, ever, ever, ever going to wear one.
Well, I love when you bring the umbrella, because it means it's not going to rain on me, you know, because you're carrying that thing around.
That's right. Yes, for sure. That's very true. So, I mean, that if it's going to be chilly, like I usually have some sweater because I get cold, not in the summer, mind you.
Right.
At other times of the year, I have something that will, you know, keep me warm. And then other than that, I don't really, even though I usually do have a purse, I don't have a ton in it. And that annoys Steve to no end because he's always like, what do you have in that bag? And I'm like, I don't really have anything that you're going to want, but whatever. And you're right. Steve is kind of a Sherpa, but seriously, if he didn't even bring in that bag, it would be fine with me. Like, it's really convenient. Like, if you have a headache or something, that he has something that has like naproxen sodium in it or, you know, something like that in it. But if he didn't have it, I would, you know, make it through the day. Okay.
And you could go to, you could go to the first aid, because yeah, I've gone there before. Absolutely. When I've had a headache, and I have gotten some ibuprofen before, so they will give you that stuff. So
You could buy it or whatever. Yes. I mean, you know, there's just, I can make all, if I was really trying to have no bag, I can make it happen.
I love not having a bag. I'll just throw like my extra battery for my phone and my cord in my pocket, and I'm good to go. Seriously, with a Magic Band and an Apple Watch, because the Apple Watch gives me a second form of payment. Like, if my Magic Band doesn't work for some reason, I can still pay with things with my Apple Watch. But you're right, the ID is a good idea.
It might make me set up my Apple.
Yeah, you need to do that. Apple. It's pretty sweet. But I mean, you can also use that for your iPhone too. Your iPhone has the exact same thing. But I like the idea of an ID, which isn't a big deal to carry. So Ricky, close us out. Best practices for going light into the parks.
So here's what I carry. I carry just one of those drawstring bags, the light ones, or sometimes I just carry my Vera Bradley purse. So it just, and the small one, not a big one. So this is what it depends on what I'm bringing to the park that day, which bag I carry. But with me, I bring, like Pam, my lip gloss. I bring, because like she said, weather dries out your lips there. I bring my ID. I bring my credit card. I bring my annual pass. I pack my phone charger and a cord. I have my keys because I drove. And that's pretty much it that I pack on a daily basis. Now, if I'm bringing the drawstring bag, I will pack, like Pam said, if it's cold, I will pack sweater or light jacket. And I will also pack hot hands, because those things are lifesavers when it's cold out down at Disney, and gloves, or you know, earmuffs. I know it's middle of summer and I'm talking about winter, but just in case. And then if it's summer, I will pack like one of those wet, you know, cloths that you can get wet. Actually, it's the one that Run Disney gave me when I ran the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. So I just pack that. And bottles of water. I'll pack maybe one bottle of water and either refill it, or I'll just buy another bottle of water depending on my mood. Sometimes I will put in actual cups of water, as Pam has seen me do. And I think that's really about it. I don't carry a whole lot in the parks either. So I do bare minimum as well. So that's usually what I carry.
All right. Well, Lori, have a great trip. Enjoy that couples trip, because it is so much different. And, you know, you're going to miss your kids. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that's something that we all do as parents. We miss our kids, but enjoy the time with your husband and just enjoy just being able to do what you want and not having to stop to give goldfish to the kids or, you know, to get the juicy juice box and the sippy cup, man, that can slow you down. So you're going to have a great trip. And we appreciate the emails. Keep those emails coming. Send them to Mike at BRGuestPodcast.com, and we'll get those on the show right away. Today's episode on a Wednesday is always brought to you by the good folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. You want to know what's going on with your favorite theme parks? Whether you're a Florida fan down at Walt Disney World like me, maybe you're curious about what's going on the West Coast at Disneyland. Hey, if you want to know what's going on with the Disney company as a whole, just drop by virtualmickey.com today. Download the free, absolutely free, Theme Park News Disney Edition, and you're going to get updates throughout the day with everything going on with your favorite company. So check them out. Also get Days to Go WDW, countdown to the next trip, over at virtualmickey.com. Also, don't forget to check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're not on TuneIn at the moment, but we're working on that. But you can always stream the audio right there at magicalmouseradio.com. Just make a shortcut on your mobile phone. You can just go to the website on Safari, add to the home screen, and it's just like having an app. Boom, right there. You won't miss any of your favorite audio. Also, give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Be Our Guest Mike. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And if you like us over there, we're very, very close to 4,000 likes. We really, really appreciate that. And every time we go live to record the Be Our Guest Podcast, you'll get an alert right there in your stream. And, hey, you can join us live. It's a lot of fun. We love having you checking in live and giving us some help here with the listener questions. Also, if you don't mind, give us a review and a rating on Stitcher and on iTunes. That helps us grow the show. And for those folks who have done that lately, we appreciate that very, very much. The next Be Our Guest Podcast live show is going to come your way on Sunday night, May 15th, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, right there at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/live. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your midweek. For Ricky and Pam, let me just say salud and may the 4th be with you.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.